Amen. Did you hear what they were singing? Thank you for saving me. How many's glad you're saved tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to be in God's house this evening amongst God's people. I want to talk to you a little bit from 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there this evening. All right, I suppose you're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm not going to exposit these verses tonight. I want to use them as the grounds and foundation of some remarks I'm going to make. But I would encourage, as I read these verses, just to pay particular attention to what Paul was saying. Could we stand for the reading of God's word? Here's Paul's instruction. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here's my target tonight. All scripture. I kind of get bugged when people, preachers do this, but I'm going to do it. Say all scripture with me. How about that? All scripture. Let's say it again. All scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed. Given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God or the person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. I love that language, furnished. Amen. You're a Christian. Is your life furnished with the right furniture of good works? I want you to notice in verse 16, those two words, all scripture, and I want to preach tonight on all the gospel. All the gospel. You can be seated. I have purposely broken our series tonight, broken our series of one anothering to address this, and there's two reasons. And please hear, these are important at least to me. You know, first of all, we're getting ready to launch our new website. And one of the things that we have done is we have streamlined this right here, this banner. I'll show it to you a little later, of our church's name and our church's mission and motto statement. And as we was getting ready to do that, for instance, last Sunday night, I asked a young man, and by the way, this is not a reflection on the people, it's a reflection on me for not keeping it in front of us, but I asked one of our young men, I said, do you know what the motto and mission statement of our church is? Had no idea. It's on our stationery, it's on our website, it's on some other things around here. And so this morning, again, reflection on me not keeping it in front of you, but I asked a young married class, I said, do you know the motto and mission statement of our church? And we had one person that, and it wasn't my wife, we had one person that knew. So let me just do another quick survey here. How many knows what the motto and mission statement of our church is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's pretty good. 11. That's still a pretty small percentage. That's number one, why I'm dealing with this tonight. Number two, I have been really concerned about the direction of American Christianity, and in particular, American Pentecost, because that's what we are, and even more particular, churches like ours that we have fellowshipped with and been a part of. And I try to keep abreast of the trends and things that are happening in the ecclesiastical world. And one of the things that really disturbed me is I watched a video, and I'm going to deal with the video first and then the slogan, the motto, mission statement of our church. You see, whether you realize this or not, there is a movement sweeping not only America but the world, and it has begun in Pentecostal charismatic circles. And it started with three prongs, and I could name each of them. There are three locations and churches in America. This movement has literally swept the world and has affected millions of people and just innumerable thousands of churches. It's influenced the music of the church. It's influenced the worship style of the church. You say, how's that happening if we don't even know about it? It's coming through artists. It's coming when ministers go to worship conferences and church conferences. And all this influence is sweeping the church. Now, I want to say some things about it in preface to showing you the video. You may say, well, you know, Brother Hurst, you're bothered by that because it's new and you're old fogey. And you just don't like new stuff. You're kind of just stuck in the mud, and that's why you're adverse to it. So now that I completed your thoughts, let me say, no, that's not it at all. Please hear me. The reason that I have such an aversion to it is because when I read the New Testament, and I read the messages of Christ, and I read of the preaching of Paul and the writings of Paul and Peter and John, what I see in the New Testament and what I see in this new movement, I have to say of the new movement, it is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. By this right here, it's just out of tune. How many can tell when somebody near you is singing out of tune? Don't look at your neighbor, just say yes or no. But listen to me. When you are in tune with this, and then you hear and see that, something says, that is out of tune. Now, I rarely do this. The video is a little long. It's about 6 minutes long. But here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to see in this video, let me tell you what it is. It's a street preacher trying to share the gospel. He's encountered by some young people of one of these new kinds of churches. And so he begins to try to share the gospel with them. What I want you to do is I want you to contrast the man sharing the gospel and these young people who have come from a church that claims to be having a move of God and an outpour of the Spirit. I want you to contrast what you see in the difference between the two. I also want you to listen for some things. Things like how it doesn't matter what the Bible says, it's what you experience. Things like you don't have to know about sin to be saved. In fact, what does it mean to be saved? Things like God's love covers it all, so it really doesn't matter what you believe or how you live. I didn't want to give too much of a spoiler there. Go ahead and cut the lights, and Brother Dearth has this ready, and I know it's just a bit long, but please give your attention to it. And I want you to note the contrast. I want you to see what's out of tune.
Him says that when Jesus died on the cross, that he died spiritually as well, and that means he took on the satanic nature of his own and became sin, as in like he was sin instead of bearing sin. Would you agree with that statement?
The Bible says that man became sinful.
Benny Hinn says that Jesus had to suffer in hell for 3 days.
Do you believe there's
at the hands of Satan in order to pay for your sins? Do you believe Jesus paid for your sin suffering in hell?
Yeah.
You do believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he went to hell and suffered?
No. He went to hell to take the
kids. Sir, you and I are on the same page.
Okay, then why are you judging what he's doing?
I'm not judging.
It's God's job.
I am doing what the Bible says.
If
which is to mark those
prophet,
that call
what you're doing is you're trying to detract people from hearing the word of God.
No, sir. I'm trying to save people from a deceptive man who will lie to them and try to shipwreck them. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15.
Loves my God.
For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds.
What church do you go to?
Matthew 7. We all go to different churches.
Let's just
Matthew 7, 15 to 16.
Where people talk to us.
Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves.
All get along.
You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from bushes, nor figs from thorns, are they?
What's your name?
Bro, can I ask you a question? Wait, I want to ask you a question. Are you a soul winner?
James.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
That's a setup question.
I'm a perfect person in Jesus.
Jesus made her perfect.
Why is this so weird?
Hello, are you in there? Are you in there? Can I ask you a question?
What are you
doing this for?
Because I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and the Bible says that we're to mark those who are false, who teach something other than what was first received, and we are supposed to point them out to others.
Okay, so I'm sure you do this a lot, right?
I've done it twice before with a couple of other people.
Are you making any progress? Are you saving souls by doing this?
The Lord knows.
You're wasting your time, bro.
Are you doing.
Christian,
sir?
Of course I'm a Christian.
Saying?
What?
How will you say?
Let's all preach the love of God together in communion. We're all made one in Him. We're all love no matter what theology we believe.
How did you get saved? We're all love no matter what theology we believe.
Yeah.
So God's filled with the Holy Spirit.
We're loved perfectly no matter what we believe.
No matter what. So you're a universalist? Every person goes to heaven?
Is perfectly loved by God.
Every person goes to heaven?
Perfectly loved.
I don't know. I can't claim to know what happens after we die.
Of course not. Sinners don't go to heaven.
Is God loved?
Unrepentant
sinners.
Does God send people to hell who He perfectly loves?
No, you send yourself.
Should we be worried about hell or heaven?
You should
be
God
Jesus God
did everything for me so that I can go be with Him forever. And it's the most
joyful, satisfying.
Have
you ever heard the verses that talk about? Have you ever heard the verses that talk about people who stand before God?
Oh, I can't wait to stand before God. Oh.
And they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these miracle things in Your name? And you know what Jesus said to him?
And in your name cast out demons.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what Jesus said to him?
Yeah, I never knew you. But we don't do it out of works. We do it out of love. We do it out of knowing Him. He releases His power. And I know I can say, I do. And everyone should be able to say that.
So let me ask you, because I'm curious. Let's say I walked up to you. I had a nice stick in my bag. I have 5 minutes to live.
Yeah.
And I know that the way you laugh and all that, you're obviously a good Christian. So
she would pull the knife out of your back and heal it right now. Right now.
About what will happen.
I would say.
What would you say?
What would happen to what?
No, I said I have 5 minutes to live. And you're a Christian. And I'm worried about how I live. What would you tell me?
I would say, God, heal right now. Heal, and the sword would fall off and they'd be fine, and then we'd hug. Yeah. Wow, that was a prophecy.
I have to tell you something.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys just take it for what it's worth. I'm desperately worried about those
things. Why?
I have to give you a false confidence. I was false confidence for 30 years.
Oh no.
What's wrong with the joy of
God? How do Christian
tie? Joy.
Christian does not say it doesn't matter what you believe, sir. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to answer your God?
Did Jesus walk around telling people to accept Him?
He's the image of the invisible God. He shows us
You said
God.
It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter if we believe in Jesus.
He loves all of us perfectly, and we can step into that wonderful love.
So if somebody loves a guy named Sam instead of Jesus, that's okay.
I hope that He loves Sam and Andrew and Ben and me and everyone.
But I mean, God. Instead of Jesus, He loves Sam. Are you okay with that?
God loves love. I think God would
God
be excited
loves him.
About Him
God
loving.
Loves Him anyway.
He loves
He's
love.
He's accepted. He's so accepted.
And I'm not trying to be
You're
mean.
Accepted
I'm
too.
I'm a gospel preacher. I go to the street. And let people mock me all the time, okay?
We definitely let Jesus
look, I don't,
anyway,
I don't want money. I'm not trying to get you to join the church.
What makes
I
you
care.
Question whether...
Because, young lady, you talk about talking. You have any idea who Jesus is.
Do you think God knows who I am perfectly? He gives me the most satisfying joy and love I've ever experienced.
Your religion is a religion of experience. You come here to get the little shivers and the ha ha ha.
Oh, I get that at home.
You don't really care about the Bible, right?
Okay, thank you. If we can have some lights. Could you see the contrast there? One thing, the street preacher was just reading scripture, and immediately, just as he was reading scripture, one of the young people said, "You're judging us," and all he was doing was reading scripture. And then it doesn't matter what you believe. And no idea. Two different ones were asked, how do you get saved? They couldn't even tell how to get saved. And this is has so influenced what's going on. So I'm responding with this message tonight, all the gospel. And after the video, I want to return to the first thing, and that is what our motto and mission is. Some of you raised your hand, you know what that is. But here it is. Our mission is the whole gospel. No. It's what? All the gospel for all of life. Now, how many knew that? Now, you said, why did you start out that way? Because when I first came here, this was the whole gospel for the whole man. But I realized even back then, when people hear man anymore because of the climate of our society, they think of male, they don't think of humanity anymore the way we used to use the word man. So our motto and our mission statement is all the gospel for all of life. And I want us just to look at this tonight. First of all, I want you to look at the word gospel. The word gospel simply means the good news. And believe me, we have good news. And our good news in a nutshell is Jesus died for us and rose again that we might be saved. That's the good news right there. Jesus died and rose again for us that we might be saved. But how many noticed that that's not good news unless there was bad news? And the bad news is we were sinners. We were lost. Now let's put on there, Jesus died and rose again for us that we might be saved. And that's good news. It's good news because he has rescued us. He has saved us. And so the gospel is why humanity needs salvation. And it's how God brought salvation to us. Not these mystical experiences. Not this not knowing the truth. It's knowing that we needed salvation, and it's knowing that God brought it to us through the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And for that, we can all be grateful. So all the gospel.